Hi, everyone, and welcome to the very first edition of the Do Your Thing podcast. My name is Amma Marco, one of the administrators for the Summer Virtual Connection Circle, and we decided to put this together to give you the opportunity to hear from women our age, women that are maybe a little bit older, who are doing cool things out in the world, something a little bit different from what we expect we can do. So I want to let our co-host introduce herself, and we will get started with our very first guest.
Hi, everyone. I'm Allie Keeves. I joined this group because of Amma. Amma and I went to college together at the University of Rhode Island, and we're both part of the Student Programming Board. So that's how we met, and we've been friends for probably about a decade now. And I'm super excited about this podcast. I'm super excited to learn from all these amazing women and to hear from their stories and to be able to share them with all of you.
So now we are going to get to our very first guest, Samantha Matt, who is the founder and editor-in-chief for the Forever 20-something site, www.forever20somethings.com. And I'm going to let her give a brief introduction, and then we're going to jump right into what we have. So Sam, say hi, everyone.
Hi, guys.
All right, so jumping in, rather than doing the traditional intro and telling us your life story, kind of like when you went to college and all of those things, do you have any stories from when you were a kid that might have given us an idea as to who you might turn into, what kind of things you might try to do with yourself?
I actually do. When I was probably around like 7 or 8 years old, I used to, so the American Girl dolls, they were all the rage back then, and I loved them. And what I loved most was you got with them these like blank books where it was like Meet Samantha, which was one of the dolls, and we shared the same name.
Yes, they were about the doll.
Yep, I used to write my own stories for the American Girl dolls, which I love doing that. That might have been weird for a kid to love doing. And then other than that, I used to have notebooks, and I just used to write, like, not even stories, but scripts, like television shows or movies. And I used to write them in just in all these, like, crazy composition notebooks. So, lots of foreshadowing.
So, can you tell us about how you decided to start Forever 20-somethings? And do you remember there being a moment when you realized that this was something that you really wanted to take on?
Yeah, so I graduated college in 2010 from Ithaca in New York. And I ended up moving back home after college. I didn't have a job right away, so I ended up interning, which I had already done a couple internships during college, so it was just a hard time back then. At one of my internships, it was this web show, and it was kind of at the time when Twitter was becoming a big thing, and it was full of like all these guests that had blogs, and they were huge on like the Twitter sphere, and I really got into it, and I was always like, I want to start my own blog. And it wasn't until I got my first job out of college. It was a basic 9-to-5 job. I was busy sometimes, but not all the time. And I would always ask, you know, if I can help out, and there just wasn't a lot to do. So during some of my downtime, I started Forever 20-somethings as a personal blog. I didn't really know where it was going to go, but after writing these things about, you know, just myself, I started getting messages from people on Facebook and emails from people I knew telling me how much they related and how much my stories were helping them. And that was new to me because I didn't realize how relatable the whole experience of life after college was. So at that moment, I knew that it was something that needed to be explored online.
Hmm. I can definitely see, like, I heard about it through a friend of a friend who happened to know somebody who wrote for it, and then saw it and saw how big it got. And this was even probably about a year ago, and it still had a really big reach. But what kinds of challenges did you run into as you tried to grow it from telling your own story to being able to tell other people's stories and making sure that it gets more and more people reading it and kind of turning it into something really substantial?
So there have been plenty of challenges trying to run and grow a website, especially with a full-time job. I guess the first one is I get maybe a couple months into starting the blog, some people that I went to college with reached out and asked if they could guest write. So that's how I started getting contributors on the site. And after I grew its reach just by making Facebook and Twitter pages, people started contacting me from all over the country asking if they could contribute, which is really exciting. But then as it goes on, as time goes on, people start to fade away, a lot of contributors. They'll contribute, you know, a lot at once or even for a couple months, and then it will fade out. And a lot of the time it's that it's everyone at once. So a huge challenge is trying to maintain writers and getting people who are, you know, excited and keeping them excited about writing. Mm-hmm. Another one is trying to find the time to keep it going, because once, you know, something gets this big and people are expecting something out of it, you can't just like half, you know, do half of it 1 week and then, you know, go all in the next week. The last challenge would be dealing with the ups and downs of traffic and trying not to let it get to me. Like if 1 week or even for like 1 month there's crazy awesome traffic and then the next month it's not so good, that is nothing against me or any of the writers or anything. It's just the ups and downs of running a business, really. So
a reach standpoint, are anything that have surprised you, like something you wrote or something you edited that you were like, I'm not sure how this is going to go, and it's been huge, even something the opposite way where you thought it was going to reach a lot of people and maybe it didn't. Can you think of anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that happens all the time. Either it's so weird how the internet works. I have found from writing and putting these things out, whether it's by me or a contributor, the stuff that tends to take off the most is stuff that you wouldn't think. It's so niche and it's so relatable to only a specific group of people. But for that reason, people then tag their friends. They want to share it. It's not, you know, this vague article about like a vague group of people. For instance, this one article I wrote about 15 signs you're a picky eater, that one had a couple million views, which is insane.
Whoa.
To me. Out of all the other things I've wrote that are, you know, really, you know, good pieces of writing, an article that's a listicle with, you know, that took me maybe 10 minutes to write is the one that gets all these views. So it's just really interesting.
So along with that, you've told us sort of the challenges, but can you tell us some moment that's been, or a few moments that have been really exciting for you as you've watched the site grow?
Yeah. So the number one exciting thing that's been there since the day it started is hearing from people, whether it's a friend or someone I knew in high school or, you know, someone who just emails me that found my stuff on the internet that tells me how, you know, I made them laugh or I helped them through a hard time or they just really enjoy what I'm doing. That is so, I love hearing that, and that's extremely exciting. And then I guess the most exciting thing that's happened is I wrote this article on Forever 20-somethings. I syndicated it on Thought Catalog about mm-hmm. the struggles of being not fat and not skinny either. And it went viral. And then Cosmopolitan in South Africa found it, and they emailed me, and they published it in their magazine, which is crazy because I know people normally like pitch to magazines, and this just kind of happened. So that was pretty mm-hmm. awesome.
Wow.
So talking to you a little bit it's come about, and we've talked about it a little bit, that Forever 20-somethings is something that takes a lot of time, takes a lot of energy, and it's quirking a lot of people, but it's also not a full-time job. It's something that you do alongside having another full-time commitment that's kind of bringing in the bills and things like that. So how have you managed that? How are you learning to kind of balance those sorts of things? And what kinds of challenges have you run into as you try to figure out how the day-to-day thing that pays your bills fits in your life along with this passion project that has international reach sometimes and needs the attention to be able to continue to do that?
Yeah, so having a full-time job and running the website is not an easy thing, as one would assume, and it's definitely changed throughout the 5 years that I've been out of school, because each year and each job that I've hauled, basically, like, I'm getting more and more responsibilities as I go at my full-time job, so it's just, it becomes harder every day running the website with it. So with that, running the website, I have to do on the weekends. I have to do it, wake up early in the morning during the weekdays and edit people's articles and write. I try to find the time to email the writers at least once a week with, like, trending topics, article ideas, but then it's hard to get people engaged and to follow up on things, and it's definitely hard to respond to emails, especially when I'm dealing with a whole other email from my full-time job where I'm trying to manage, you know, everything that I'm doing there. So I guess balancing it, it has to be outside of work. It has to be at night and on the weekends and in the morning. And a big challenge is deciding, you know, do I want to go out with my friends on Saturday night, or do I want to, like, stay in and just get a bunch of work done? And sometimes I've stayed in because a lot of people will ask, you know, how do you have a life and a full-time job and this website? And I do. I have all three of them. I just sometimes wake up early in the morning. I sometimes will skip a workout, and I sometimes will stay in for an entire weekend and just get out a bunch of stuff.
So do you have any tips for those people who are trying to balance, you know, a side job or a side labor of love, while they still have, you know, a daily job that they're doing?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the number one thing is not to give up. That's huge. I have seen so many people get really into it, and then, you know, things will start getting really, going really well at their full-time job, and they'll kind of just phase out whatever they're doing on the side, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But if you're really passionate about what you're doing on the side and you want to keep it going, you should, whether you're making money off of it or, you know, it's just an outlet or it's just something that you love doing, and you can put it on your resume or you can just have it, you know, as something that you know you're doing. You just shouldn't give up ever, because you never know what something could turn into.
Excellent. Now, Alma is a 20-something, and I am a 30-something. So I was wondering, once you sort of get to your 30-somethings, what do you think the website is going to turn into, or what do you have a vision for it?
So the good thing about naming the website Forever 20-somethings is that it's kind of like being forever young. So even when you're in your 30s, you can still be a forever 20-something. It's like that decade where so much happens. You graduate from college, you know, you're going out all the time, and then you kind of stop going out. And all those changes are documented so well on the website. It's insane just how much things have changed. And the readers that have stuck with the site, there are definitely some that are, you know, fresh out of college in their early 20s, some that are even in college, and they love reading the stuff about being in your mid to late 20s, then I think that it could go from here. I don't know if the domain could have another, you know, side website that's about being in your 30s. I don't know if there will be any like sub websites off of it, but I do think that the idea of being a forever 20 something is something that you can be your entire life.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, me too.
I'm glad.
Okay, so now we'll do a couple quick, shorter questions just to close ourselves out. So the first, who's your favorite woman in pop culture right now, and what makes her your favorite? It can be fictional, it can be a real person, mm-hmm. but right now, favorite woman in pop culture.
So hands down, Mindy Kaling, of course.
Yes. Love
she
it.
She is definitely my number one idol.
So what makes her the pick?
So Mindy, I see a lot of myself in her. I think she's hilarious. I think she's such an inspiration. She's, you know, like the article I read about being not skinny, not fat. She is, you know, that person, and she owns it. And she's not afraid to be that she's single. She's not afraid about anything. She just puts herself out there. She is obviously the star of a television show that will hopefully go to Hulu and everyone will be happy. She's a great writer. She's interested in television. She has books. I just think she's such an inspiration.
I think I can speak for Amma and myself when I say we agree with you wholeheartedly.
Most definitely.
Looking back on, if you could talk to your 18-year-old self, what advice would you give yourself?
When I was 18, I turned 18 freshman year of college, and I would tell myself to start writing now, and I would tell myself to have started a blog then. I would tell myself not to be afraid to put myself out there. During college and even in high school, I was definitely afraid to, like, I was involved in my college's television station, and I know I was in class and in the station, I would get nervous to put my ideas out there, you know, write anything, or I would just be nervous, and I would tell myself not to be, because obviously it's working now, so.
I like that. It's one of those things where once you're finding something that you like, that you really like to do, that you're really good at, it's always, I wasn't doing this from the beginning. So glad to know it's not just me that feels that way.
Yeah, no, so many people are like that, because everyone is talented. It's just a matter of whether you think you are or you think you aren't.
So with that kind of thought process in mind, to close out with our last question, what one thing would you tell women who are trying to do their own thing?
I would tell them to go for it. You never know what's going to happen. When I started Forever 20-somethings, it was as a personal blog. I really didn't think of myself as this great writer. I didn't think of myself as this, you know, as Lena Dunham would say, voice of a generation. It's so hard to even think that, you know, people from all over are reading this website and not just people I know, or even the articles that I put on Huffington Post or anywhere else. It's really surreal that with the internet now, you can really put yourself out there and just do things. If you know, your current job isn't allowing you to do exactly what you want to do, you can do it on the side. You don't have to, you know, go with the daily grind and just wait for something to happen. You can make it happen on your own.
I like it. Now,
yeah,
let's say we had somebody who's listening. Let's say we had somebody who's listening that wanted writing to be one of their own things, and they wanted to write for you. How'd they go about doing that?
I would tell them to definitely, you know, before you want to write for my website or any website out there, definitely read it, get familiar with the voice. And if you're writing to like apply to a website or something, maybe, you know, spice up your cover letter email in the form of an article that is in the voice of that website. Doing something to definitely, like, make yourself stand out is huge. I know it's really hard to get any job these days because they want you to have experience in that exact role. But how are you supposed to get experience if you don't have the job yet? So definitely making yourself stand out is huge, and showing passion and explaining why and showing that you have knowledge about whatever website you're interested in is huge.
I like it. I think that's good advice.
I'm glad.
All right. Well, this has been the first edition of the Dear Thing podcast. I want to thank Sam for being with us for what felt like no time at all. It was a fun conversation. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, look forward to more episodes like this, talking to more women doing cool things, doing their own thing. And with that, I'll sign off for now. This is Amma. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, everyone.
Enjoy the rest of your day or evening, whenever you may be listening to this, and we'll be back with you.